We withdrew our support and did what we could to knock the rough edges off the movement. We reported the findings of it to the Navy Department and the President. We said we could not associate our names with this organization. And it all fell to nothing. But the atomic physicist did try. That was his push. It took place late in the year of 1945 in the United States. And he's not going to do anything else. Why? Because his leaders are dead. Einstein is dead. And the other day I read the list of atomic scientists who are now amongst the graveyards. And it's practically the whole roster. Dead of what? Dead of leukemia, cancer, and the very things that the radiation sickness breeds. These fellows died to a marked degree of radiation, mostly, I suppose, mentally, because they had exerted a tremendous overt act against the world and had been unable to repair it in any way. Now, what I tell you is clear fact. It is not propaganda. I have no propaganda at all. I'm just telling you that there was a background where the nuclear physicist did attempt to revolt. The punishment taken against him was severe. None of the information I give you is even vaguely confidential. I'm not in possession of any confidential information of any kind. From that time on, from 1945 on, it seemed to be a lost cause. Some of us could see this. We knew it was coming. We knew that certainly the world was in danger from the fury of atomic war. But I'm afraid none of us were clever enough to realize that continued testing would take place, because that never occurred to any of us since it was stupid. And none of us counted on this factor, that the airs of Earth would be polluted with radiation to such a degree that people would become ill and maybe die out entirely. Now, that was not part of our understanding. And so, the only new thing that has happened here, the only new thing that has happened here, has been simply that. A certain carelessness for public welfare has continued the testing of the atomic bomb. And that this may itself bring about a sufficient hysteria and upset on the part of the general public that government itself will become impossible. This is the extreme possibility. I do not believe that atomic fission will continue to be tested to a point where everybody dies. I do not believe that will happen. But I do believe it will continue to be tested to a point where everybody is so pronouncedly ill that a great deal of the ability is gone out of the society. Now, I'm not talking against the United States. The United States was simply the first to develop this. Since that time, it has gotten into even much more irresponsible hands in getting into Russian hands. I'm not talking against United States policy. I'm not talking against any of these things. I'm just telling you the history of it as I see it, and the consequences of it as they must become obvious in the coming years. Man has done an unfortunate thing, and for this he very well may pay a dreadful price. Now, that is a pretty grim look. I've done a lot of talking about radiation, but what is it? What is it? It is either a particle or a wavelength. These things become the fad and fashion like processes in Scientology. One moment, everybody says it's a wavelength. Next, they all say it's a particle. Next, they say it's a wavelength. They say it's a particle. This has been going on since 1932. And so let's define it as a capability of influencing matter. That's all. Let's just define it, radiation, as a capability of influencing matter. And that capability can be exerted across space. Now, you see, a bullet can influence matter, and other things can influence matter, and the only different definition that then we would make in atomic radiation would be it does it more so. You hit a man with a bullet and he dies. You spray him with radiation and he dies more slowly. But he dies. But the oddity is he does very, very specific and exact things in the process of his dying. He dies in a certain way. Now, the oddity of this is if you throw a handful of bullets at somebody, he doesn't particularly get upset. You know, they go, tack, tack, tack. You didn't fire them at him, you just threw a handful at him. Now, supposing tomorrow you threw another handful at him, now supposing the next day you threw another handful at him, and the next day you threw another handful at him, he would simply say, well, somebody every day throws bullets at me. See, the bullets aren't being fired, they're just being tossed at the fellow. They never add up to being shot with one bullet. You see that? They just never add up to that being shot with one bullet. Well, now that is the single difference in radiation. Today, we throw a few rays at somebody, and tomorrow we throw a few rays at somebody, same fellow, and the next day we throw a few rays at him, and the next day we throw a few rays at him, and the next day we throw a few rays at him, and he's been shot with a bullet. You get the idea? It's cumulative. And that's all it is. Now, exactly what it does and how it does it and the other things, you can go and listen to any nuclear physics, getting a technical lecture on the subject, and you can get all the information you want. There's all kinds of interesting bric-a-brac about it, that by the time you take uranium and refine it, you get an intolerant element known as plutonium. And if too much plutonium gets smashed together with too much plutonium, it goes boom. And the gamma goes flying all around. Other elements are influenced, and so forth. It is an intolerant element. It is artificially manufactured, and it's very intolerant of itself. The way you make an atomic bomb is quite interesting. Anybody knows this. I mean, I don't know what all this secrecy is about. You take some plutonium, you take a piece of plutonium here and a piece of plutonium there, and you put a stick between them, see? And you fix the back piece of plutonium so that it'll slide up and hit the front piece of plutonium when the stick hits something. And then you simply throw the stick. The front piece of plutonium hits the ground, the back piece of plutonium hits the front piece of plutonium, and it goes. And that's a bomb. But when it goes, it releases a tremendous amount of gamma. It also releases many other items, much too lengthy to catalog. And these items, each one of them, in some separate way, might have a deadliness of its own. The various things that are used as containers for these bombs, such things as cobalt-60, things of that character, have the capability of killing people practically at a breath. So they've salted this thing up and made it a bit more deadly than it already is. But it's deadly enough. And all an atomic bomb is the method of getting plutonium to intolerate itself and go boom. Now, everybody knows that plutonium explodes. What they don't know is that it makes other things explode. So that plutonium, as a booster, can be put inside other elements, and you get such things as fusion. It's basically merely an atomic bomb. It's simply an atom bomb. The H-bomb, I don't know why they've suddenly started calling them H-bombs, because basically they are simply another set of elements which are triggered by the original explosion of plutonium. You're still not working without plutonium. Now, how much plutonium does it take? Well, it takes a few pennyweights. That's about all. This material I'm giving you, by the way, can be heard in any technical lecture by any nuclear physicist or person informed on the subject talking to the public at large, or it's in the libraries, in the textbooks, it's very common material and is not terribly important. What is important to you is that this bomb, when it explodes, leaves in the atmosphere a residue of what? Well, of gamma, of strontium-90, and several other elements, which cause a widespread coverage of the countryside with a deadly substance. And because it floats in the air, because it unites with dust particles which then settle on the ground or still drift, it causes an air pollution, unlike TNT. And someone who comes along and tells you it shouldn't worry about the atom bomb simply because it is a large TNT bomb, really, is being very non-factual. Because atomic fission and TNT are not comparable. It is the blast, the burn, the fragments of TNT that do the injury. It is the radiation, the blast, the particles, the explosions that do the injury of an atomic bomb. Something else is there. It is like TNT united with poison gas, which then does not dissipate or settle. So you can see it would be an entirely different thing to be bombed with TNT and poison gas than it would be simply to be bombed by a TNT bomb. You could get away with the TNT bomb, but the poison gas would stay in the air. Well, that's basically what this is all about. And what we're talking about is the residue of the exploded bomb when we speak about radiation in the air or air pollution. That's all we're talking about. We're just talking about this poison gas that blew out with the TNT explosion. Now, it stays in the air a very long time. They are now blowing atomic bombs up in such a way that they hope the residue will not come to Earth for another 10 years. This is their best solution. Let's blow it up so high that it won't come down for 10 years. I don't know what they figure out. I guess they figure not to. Maybe they figured to have taken a flat in Chelsea by that time. But that is the basic solution in how they're handling this radiation explosion factor. Now, whatever political purpose there is in exploding a bomb, it is quite certain that it is destructive. This we won't argue with. The continuous testing of bombs is destructive. It may have, however, in people's eyes, enough political connection, connotation, that they think it is necessary to go on testing them. They must go on, according to U.S. releases, evidently, they must go on releasing these things to keep people aware of the fact that they are possessed. Similarly, Russia is trying to keep in the picture and show people that she has an atomic bomb. In other words, we've got an arms race which is out in plain view, a bit different than simply building a battleship and sending it around the world. We explode a bomb and show we have one. Now, nobody's to be condemned for this, providing he does not understand at the same time that he is widely endangering health. Now, the government is actually of the opinion in Russia and the United States and other governments are of the opinion that not enough nuclear fission explosions have been done to date in order to damage the health of mankind. However, none of the releases which they have put out so far are convincing on this subject, and thus the public is not convinced. So we fall into two schools of thought on this subject. We fall into the thought of the government release and the public reaction. Now, the public reaction is best expressed by men of the press, and these have a tendency to fight back against the government release. The government says, well, although we don't know what the wrench and count must be in order to be fatal, we nevertheless feel, by experiments which we have not made, that the amount of radiation in the atmosphere at this time will not kill more than, or deform, or derange more than 6,000 babies in the coming year. Something like this. You know, awfully vague. So, and somebody gets hold of that in the press, and quite righteously, he pokes it full of holes, and he says, what is your data? How do you know? What do you mean 6,000 babies aren't important, supposing one of them was yours? And he says this quite honestly and quite righteously. And he says to the government, release figures. But the government's on the spot. It doesn't have figures. But so is the press on the spot. It doesn't have figures. And out of this, what do we get? We get a tremendous question mark. Whether radiation is floating across the world or not, is not the point. There's a question mark floating across the world. Is it or isn't it? But the funny part of it is that's radiation itself. Is it there or isn't it there? You know, it kills the human body very, very dead. But it'll go through a 16-foot wall. A gamma ray will go through a wall very easily. Well, what's it? How does it hurt a body? Nobody can tell you. A wall can't stop a gamma ray, but a body can. And we get down to our number one medical question. Gamma rays go through walls, but don't go through bodies. We get the density of a body and the density of the wall, and we find out the body is less dense than the wall. So therefore, we have to go into the field of the mind, if we can't go into the field of anatomy on this subject, and say, what is happening here? And I can tell you, fortunately, what is happening here. Resistance. The wall doesn't resist, and the body does. And a gamma ray does not really settle in the body. It goes on through. But its passage creates a sensation of some kind or another, which, if too recurrent, is resisted on the part of the cells and the body. And this resistance itself brings about the stop, chaos, that we see in No Future. The reaction of the mind to the bomb is that we have no future here. Well, stop, the body says, stop the rays, stop the gamma ray, stop gamma, stop gamma. It's doing this all the time, you see. And finally it says, you know, I'm stopped. It sort of, this is very crudely stated, but it sort of works out that way. It feels this. There is some sensing of it. And sensing it, it then says, there's an influence around here which I must stop, which makes me in danger, which I cannot feel, see, taste, but it's doing something to me. I know it is doing something to me, and it upsets me, and it influences me in some way, and therefore I must resist it in some fashion. And we get a body falling in. We get resistance definitely is called into effect there. The effects of radiation, very, very generally and very rapidly, effects of radiation are quite pronounced, they're quite simple. They take many, many aspects. Hives, that's a simple aspect. They cause flushes, one kind or another. A person feels like he's sunburned. You get a skin irritation. Skin merely feels irritated. This is another manifestation. These are all separate manifestations, by the way. A body doesn't feel all of them. It feels one or another of them. There's gastroenteritis. A fellow gets colitis that he can't quite trace to anything, and he wonders what that is. There's an exhausted, achy feeling in the bones, which comes about from this. Glandular functions are deranged quite markedly, but we're talking about things that one would normally experience from just light radiation, and these categorize into hives, flushes, gastroenteritis, prickly sensations, exhaustion, a bit of nausea. You know, those are the mild light reactions. Now let's get into the serious reactions, and those all sum up to cancer. They sum up in this direction. Bone cancer, lung cancer, skin cancer, and so on. If a medical doctor inspected this very closely, he'd find that leukemia had an association also with cancer. Now, here is the very heaviest of these aspects of continual radiation, hammering and pounding, and these all add up to cancer. What's cancer add up to? Cancer merely says, we cannot go on. Procreation is from here on out impossible on a cellular level. The cells feel they can no longer procreate, and instead of procreating in cooperation with the body, they simply procreate in a wild and abandoned fashion in some other direction. In other words, they are driven to an independent action or reaction in the lines of growth. That is one type of cancer. And there are really two basic types. One of them is procreation, and the other one is simply erosive, corrosive, death of tissue, malignancy. Both of them are associated. Now, that's what man faces. Not much. Merely obliteration. There are other things, less important, less dramatic, which lie between the two effects. Now, some fellow doesn't feel tired, and then one day he starts feeling tired, and nothing has happened between the two moments. You, as an auditor, find he has a stuck visio at Trafalgar Square. In other words, he's holding a mental image picture at Trafalgar Square there. You say, what happened there? Nothing. This is his mental reaction. Nothing. Were you run over by a cab? Did somebody startle you? What are you doing holding up this mental image picture of Trafalgar Square in front of you? See? You ask him, close his eyes, what are you looking at? Trafalgar Square, he said. And that's it. Nothing happened there that he can account for, and yet he's stuck in Trafalgar Square. Why? He got a blast of radiation at that point. Wind came around the corner. He stuck him. He can't account for it. Wherever you get one of these overwhelming mysteries, you get mental upset. Now, how is he going to react to this? He's going to someday get tired of being tired. He's going to feel, well, I'm going to die anyway, so I may as well do something desperate. I'm being told to do something, he feels. I am being affected in some way, and I cannot account for it. How am I going to straighten this out? What am I supposed to do? Well, he can't do anything, so he gets sick. He gets various mental reactions to this. And the broadest of them is his first look at it, which is an hysteria. He feels that he should react, and he doesn't know which direction to react. That is the main problem. He cannot account for this effect upon himself. So he says to himself, there must be some accounting for it. So he assigns a cause to some other agency than radiation. You will sooner or later see him suddenly saying, well, actually, what's making us ill here in London's cats. Cats. If we just kill all the cats, we will be in good shape. There's no accounting for where this sudden enthusiasm came from for killing all the cats in London. But somebody got the idea. They said, the reason we don't feel well is the cats. They're carrying some disease or other, and so we'll just kill all cats. Somebody else will say, it's the government. Ever since we did that, it's the government that's doing this, and therefore we should kill off the government or something, you see. Misassignment of cause. They say, well, actually, it's probably lorry gas. And you have people lying down on the street preventing any buses from moving in London. They're looking for cause. They can't find one, so they assign it rather ridiculously. Every time you get some kind of a national question mark of this character, a war is different. You know what to fight during a war. Rather interestingly, a chap at Pearl Harbor was on an old tug. The Japanese planes were coming over, and he simply told his men to pick up potatoes and throw them at the planes. He didn't have anybody get a bad mental reaction. The sailors stood there throwing potatoes at planes 300 or 400 feet above them that were diving into Battleship Row. They just stood there throwing potatoes. They knew what was wrong. They knew it was the airplanes and the bombs, you see. Now, if they couldn't do anything at all, they would have turned around and said, well, it was the captain's fault at this and that, and they finally wouldn't have found any real outlet for their expression of outrage. And having no outlet for it, they would then fictitiously assign this. And they would say, this is cause, that's cause. Because they cannot do anything to strike back against this thing called radiation, they are then liable to strike at things which are not connected with it. And so you would have a tumultuous, hard to control society. That's the only real danger in my mind of radiation at large at this time, because the United Nations and so forth may very well come up with some sort of a solution to put a break on testing and so forth. But they don't act fast enough. Therefore, the primary problem that we face today is not the control of governments who are failing to control testing and radiation, but is actually the problem of continuing to control a populace which may get too tired to go on living or may revolt into an hysteria which defies any control. You see the beginnings of that right now in the newspapers and so forth, people becoming upset about radiation. Of course, we say, well, if we influenced these governments to stop this testing, and if we issued sensible information on the subject of radiation, and we really informed people what it was all about, why, that would be the sensible course. But I don't know that even we at this time and place can take a sensible course. But we have a secondary course which is quite well open, and that is the control of civil populaces, problems appertaining thereto. How do you keep people fairly calm, cool, and collected in the face of this much danger and trouble? Because if you can keep them collected, if you can keep them braced up to it, if you can show them that it isn't going to wipe them out, if you can give them some hope of one kind or another, they will come through it where they otherwise would not. So the danger in the world today, in my opinion, is not the atomic radiation, which may or may not be flying through the air, but the hysteria occasioned by that question. Thank you.